Welcome to the show. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well. You are listening to our, it's generally a weekly podcast, you're listening to It's Your Money, the financial show that pulls back the curtain on the industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. I am your host, Paul Nichols, president of Financial Abundance. Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm located in Central Pennsylvania, or Pennsyltucky for those who like to jest. I'm joined this morning by Deb Seward. Hey, Deb.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know what we want to do today is, now that we're not on the radio format anymore,
right.
And we've gone to strictly podcast, we don't have set things we have to stick to time-wise. So we're finding that our show's a little shorter, which is good, but we want to make them more centric to subject matter. And this one in particular, I want to talk about IRAs, Deb, in general.
I think it's a great subject.
Most people are clueless about just the whole concept of retirement planning, especially the IRA.
I agree. And they don't always get the right information from their tax accountants, per se.
Yeah. And so what we want to do is just offer up maybe a paradigm shift, a different way of thinking. Some of the things we're going to talk about may not apply to everyone, but they should apply to the bulk of people out there. And so let's talk about IRAs by starting and defining what an IRA is. And there's really different types of IRAs. So basically,
right.
IRA stands for...
Individual retirement account.
Now, people sometimes ask me, well, why can't we put our money together?
Yeah, they always want it joint.
Yeah, it's not a joint retirement account. It's an individual retirement account that's qualified or tax qualified, as we refer to them in the industry. Now, why do we call them tax qualified?
Well, when you make a contribution on an annual basis, you get to deduct that depending on your income level and those sorts of things, but you can generally get to deduct that on your taxes.
So basically, would we say that an IRA or an individual retirement account is a tax-qualified plan, meaning that the IRS has laid out certain stipulation and rules?
That is correct. It's tax-deferred, so we're not paying our taxes today, but sometime in the future.
So really, when we think of IRAs, the first thing we need to understand is what is an IRA? It's basically an individual retirement account. It has certain limits to it. Generally, you can only put $5,000 in per year. If you're over 50, you can put in $6,000. That would be a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. Now, we don't want to confuse people, but as a general rule, traditional IRA also includes other types of IRAs. And let's just kind of bunch them all together, Deb. We're going to bunch them into traditional and Roth.
Okay.
So the traditionals would include your regular IRA that you might have set up, with your local bank or whatever.
Right.
But then we have something else called a 401k, which is really just an IRA with your company.
Right. And if you leave the company or retire, then you can roll that into an IRA, then it becomes an IRA rollover.
Ultimately, everything is going to become an IRA in the end, in
right.
essence.
All retirement accounts.
So whether it's a 457 with the municipality or a state type of
right.
Retirement plan, whether it's a 403B that we see a lot of with the universities,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Hospitals are also, I think, under
hospitals, right. Whether it be a 401K,
right.
Whether it be a simple IRA or a SEP IRA.
Right.
These are all forms and have the same basic rules as a traditional IRA.
Now, there are a couple that are probably not as prominent today, but I do know of a few companies that have these. They're called profit sharing plans or money purchase pension plans. Those also eventually would be rolled into an IRA.
Basically, all these monies and all these scenarios are tax deferred, meaning that you don't pay tax now, but you pay tax at a later date when you pull the money out.
That's right.
Now, there's a little bit of an exception from a traditional IRA to these 403Bs, 457s, 401Ks. And the only real difference is with those, there's different funding limits.
Right. And that's set by the government because they're done through a company generally.
But all of the strings are basically the same. You can't take it out till you're 59 and a half without a penalty, a 10% penalty. You can't take it out for certain situations like first-time home buyer, higher education expenses, I think disability. But as a general rule, they're all basically the same, and the concept is very simple, and that is something called tax deferral.
Right.
Now, when we talk to people about funding traditional IRAs, we're not talking about a Roth. Let's shelve the Roth for now. By the way, let's just tell you what a Roth is. A Roth has all the same rules as traditionals, except Roth is after-tax money.
Right. And there's one other significant difference that at age 7 and a half, you are not required to make those withdrawals.
Where you would with a traditional IRA, and that's called a required minimum distribution. It is a distribution scale of percentages or divisors or multipliers that the government comes out with every
year.
That's
right.
And the government says, ladies and gentlemen, at 70 and a half, we're going to require that you take a minimum distribution. Now, why are they requiring that, Deb?
Well, I can tell you why I think. I think the IRS wants their money before you pass away, so they have a certain life expectancy tacked on to all of us, and I believe at age 70 and a half, that factor is 27.4 years. So the government is saying, you're going to live for 27.4 years, so we want you to start taking those withdrawals annually so that you can start paying your taxes.
And by the way, we're not throwing dirt here, but the fact of the matter is the government basically is saying, listen, we've let you defer that long enough. We would like for you to start paying the taxes. On it. So,
and they're in control.
So then I don't want to segue to this too quick, but this is a perfect opportunity for this. Would a person be able then to make this statement, Deb, that the government has a permanent tax lien on your retirement savings if they're in any type of qualified plan?
That's absolutely correct.
So the government is going to control.
They're in control.
They're in control as it relates to taxation and so on and so forth.
Now, they're in control of our money.
Yeah. Now, let's segue this for a moment and take it a step further and realize, why does the government give us a tax break? Well, the government's going to give anyone a tax break that takes responsibility for certain things that's going to take an onus or a burden from the government. For example,
Right. If
you buy your own home, you get a mortgage deduction because the government recognizes here's somebody that we're not going to have to provide subsidized housing for.
Right.
If you give to charities, well, this is less drain that may have on the government for areas of charity, and so on. They give you a break on that. If you put money in a retirement account, they're saying, hey, this person's taking responsibility. Let's give them a tax break. But the challenge that we have, and now we're going to kind of turn the corner here, is we start to ask ourselves, really, when we put money in a traditional type of plan, not a Roth, what are we really doing? And I ask people that. You know what most people say, Deb?
What?
They say, I'm saving taxes.
that's true in today's dollars.
At first glance, that's what it seems like.
Yes.
But what I would like to do, ladies and gentlemen, is submit to you maybe a little deeper thought process on that, and that is this. What really are we doing when we defer taxes by putting money in qualified plans? True, we are getting a tax break on that amount of money this year.
That is today's figures or today's values.
But the question is, what does that account grow to later that if we believe you're going to be in the same or higher tax bracket, would deferring tax really help you?
No, because let's just say at age 62, you have $100,000 in your 401k account. And you're in a 30% tax bracket, that means you really only have $70,000.
Yeah, so let's take it a step further. The idea of people deferring money, Deb, is that they're saving money on taxes.
Right.
But what we want to get you to think a little bit differently, and again, this may not apply to you. If it applies to you, then you understand that. If not, you'll understand that as well. But I want people to get a little bit of a different view of the way taxes and IRAs are done in this country now. We're really not. We are saving taxes this year, but we may not ultimately be saving as it relates to the max savings, because two things happen when we defer taxes. One's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
We defer taxes.
That's right.
Okay, so we don't pay taxes this year. But the other thing is, we also defer what?
Our liability?
The tax calculation.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's going to increase. Yeah.
So here's really the crust of everything that we want to really focus in on today, and that is very simply this. If you believe that your personal tax rate is going to be higher or the same in the future, would deferring the tax calculation benefit you?
I would have to say no.
It would not benefit you, would it?
No.
It only is going to benefit you if, in fact, you were in a lower tax bracket than you were when you put the money away. That's the whole concept of tax deferral, correct?
That is correct.
So let's put it in a different context, in the context of a farmer. If you were a farmer and you had the option to get a seed that is tax-free, which is like an IRA,
yes,
and then say, okay, I'll take a break on the seed, but the harvest then has to be taxable, would you prefer that? Or would you say, you know what, I'd rather go ahead and pay tax on the seed and have a tax-free harvest? So would you rather have a taxable harvest or a tax-free harvest? Well, when we ask most people that question, the obvious answer is, I would like to have a tax free harvest. Right. Because that's the follow-up question to, do you believe in the future tax rates are going to be higher, lower, or the same? Well, most people answer what, Deb?
Higher.
Well, if you believe they're going to be higher, then how does deferring taxes now help you?
It doesn't. So we have to figure out a way or tell and educate our clients a better way to do that.
So let's take it a step further. Why is it then that the industry's, one of the industry's major mantras, financial services industry, is tax deferral, tax deferral, tax deferral? Why is it that the accounting industry's major mantra is tax deferral, tax deferral, tax deferral? Whenever you ask an accountant, and I've done this on numerous occasions, do you believe tax rates are going to be higher, lower, or the same in the future? And they say higher. Why would we defer taxes? Well, the reason that that mantra is there for the financial services industry is they're not focusing on the end game, Deb. They're only focusing on contribution accumulation. They're not even thinking about the end game, which is distribution and transfer of the
right.
assets.
Correct.
I don't know how you can start planning without focusing on the end game. That is, it's not what you make, it's not necessarily what you keep, isn't it, really?
Right. Okay. It should be.
So the main reason the financial services industry talks about tax deferral, is really because they only focus on contribution and accumulation. I could be a devil's advocate and take it a step further and say the reason that they focus on tax deferral is then the accounts are bigger than they would be if taxes were paid on them, and then that means their revenue is less.
That's true.
I'm just saying if a guy wanted to go that way, I'm not going that way. I'm saying from a devil's advocate perspective. So why is it that the financial industry focuses on contribution accumulation? I don't understand it. I don't know why. I really can't answer why they don't focus on distribution.
The only thing that truly makes sense is this: if the government is forcing individuals to save so they no longer have to help them with any of these social services in the future, because there's some people that are much better at saving.
But when we talk to
budgeting.
I agree with that. But when we talk to financial planners, Deb, and they all agree tax rates are going to be higher, they may want to rethink this whole IRA story.
Mm-hmm.
They still say defer.
They do.
Now, let me move on to the accountants to make a point. And again, mm-hmm. I'm not throwing mud. The only thing you do when you throw dirt is you lose ground.
Yeah, okay? We don't want to do that.
But I want to focus and get you you got to have a well-rounded education understanding of not only the industry, but the motivation of the players in the industry before you can really understand and assimilate all the information.
Agreed.
This was a challenge for me for years. I could not understand why my accountant agreed with me that I could not defer tax, but they continued to tell me to defer them.
They would tell you all the time.
Every time. Every year.
IRA contribution. IRA
every year. Max it out. Max it out every year. I finally realized last year why. Because I forgot that why am I hiring my accountant to do this year?
To lower your current, this year's taxes only.
That's it.
That's all they're trained to do.
So to think that most accountants, and again, if you're an accountant, I'm not knocking you. We need you. You're a valuable part of the entire process. But to think that most accountants are really doing pure long-term tax planning, I think is really a naive way of looking at the whole accounting process, when what I've seen is really what their focus is to try to get the best tax bill this year. They're not focusing down the road, per se. They're focusing on this year only. So a lot of people are getting charged for tax planning by their accounting firms, I being one, when in fairness, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't seen tax planning. I've seen very thorough understanding of this year's tax codes and how to apply them.
I agree with that.
So why is it that the industry as a whole continues to focus on tax deferral? And you know why it is? Very simply, ladies and gentlemen, the government, because it's really to their benefit.
Sure, they can.
Would they rather have taxes on the seed or the harvest?
There you go.
Okay, so I used to say, man, the IRS is stupid. Man, the IRS is smart. And they realize they've got a permanent tax lien on our retirement accounts. Now, what we need to realize, though, is the rest of the story. And that is, if you think about it, Deb, most people will pay 10 to 12 times the tax savings that they got by
the higher tax brackets
yeah,
as they go along.
By waiting to take by paying tax on the harvest, they'll pay 10 to 12 times the savings they got by deferring the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe you're going to be in a lower tax bracket at retirement, well, obviously, then deferring taxes was a very smart thing to do. But when would we know that?
Not until we are ready to retire.
And what a lot of people do is, and it's interesting, Deb, they focus on the yield of their accounts rather than the unnecessary transfers that take place in their accounts. And it's often interesting to me that people focus on yield because the industry focuses on yield or return on investments, when many people don't realize the biggest hit they're going to take on their retirement account is the day they start taking it out because of taxes.
That's right.
And the yield has done what to them?
Well, it's been very disappointing.
If the yield's been good, what has it done? It's created even more taxes.
Yeah, it has.
So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, what we want to offer is just a well-rounded way of thinking about IRAs. Now, Roths, to me, are an absolute no-brainer. It's the number one thing I fund every year if I can. Depends on income levels and so on. But to me, I would never put a dime in a traditional IRA in any way, shape, or form,
nope.
With one exception. And that's a 401k. Now, why would I put money in a 401k?
Simply because you're getting matched by the company.
Yeah, now some people say that's accurate. That's exactly why we would, because it's found money. But some people misunderstand and say, well, look, Paul, I'm getting a dollar I'm putting into my 401k and my company's matching 50 cents. I get a 50 cent gain or a 50% gain. Well, that's not accurate. You now have a 50% higher account value that's 100% subject to tax.
There you go.
So please, ladies and gentlemen, don't fake yourselves out and just buy into these sound bites. Think it through a little bit, and I would strongly encourage you to ask yourself. You really probably need to get some analysis, whether it be Roth conversions, and there's different things we can do. I'm not going to belabor that point, Deb. We were going to talk about there are many alternatives to traditional IRAs.
Right.
It's just they need to understand these alternatives. But more importantly, before any of that, we have to come to the conscious decision or conclusion that we may, in fact, be pursuing a wrong strategy when it comes to retirement planning by deferring taxes if, in fact, we are going to be in the same or higher tax bracket. And just on a side note, as someone who's does full holistic retirement planning in the last 10 years, I can count on maybe one hand the people that I've worked with that ended up in the same or lower tax bracket. It's just not happening, Deb.
Well, I hope I'm in a same or higher tax bracket. That means I've got the same income, right?
It's really a double-edged catch-22 type of thing in that on one side, the industry's saying, oh, you'll be in a lower tax bracket. Why? Well, because you won't need as much money to live on. So what they're saying is you'll be in a lower tax bracket because you're going to take a pay cut.
Yeah, I don't want to take a pay cut.
I don't either. I would fire my advisor if he's telling me to take a pay cut. How about you?
Yes.
So anyway, I think we'll just end it here, Deb. What we wanted to do was give people a well-rounded understanding of the general concept of the IRA, traditional IRAs, whether they're 403s, 457, 401k. All those are really just forms of individual retirement accounts. The Roth would be the only exclusion to that. But there are non-qualified alternatives that work like the Roth. And in fact, there may be some shows on this. So anyway, with that being said, you're listening to It's Your Money. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. I've been joined by
Deb Seward,
my co-host, and we've talked about IRAs. If you would like more information on any of the type of work and education, really the educational material we've created, there is a huge amount of that. You can type in financial abundance into Google and our page will pop up. There is a bunch of blogs, iTunes. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you are familiar with iTunes. You can go to WJACTV. That's WJACTV.com and go to the news tab. Under the news tab, It's Your Money. That's the NBC affiliate for Central PA. I am the NBC investor coach for Central PA, and there's videos that we put up on the news broadcast every week. So there's all kinds of coaching. When you get done reviewing all these sites, if you'd like to apply some of this information or learn how it applies, give us a call or go to our website, Financial Abundance, and ask the coach, and we will respond accordingly and get you the kind of content that you need to get coached up, because you can't have clarity until you have education, and you can't have confidence until you have clarity. So education, clarity, confidence. This is Paul Nichols and Deb Seward, the investor coaches. We hope this finds you well and enjoyed this podcast. Hey, if you did, give us a rating. Give us a little review, will you please? We'd appreciate that. Hope this finds you well, and we'll talk to you down the road. Have a super-duper day.